Last week, we learned about being diligent to do good deed and don't be lazy, because whatever we do, we will be rewarded richly by God. We do good deeds here in Sacramento, in America, and overseas. We will do with whatever resources the Lord has blessed us with. We do with patience, and we do it with faith to the very end. We imitate great men and women of faith who walked this earth long before us. That was the message last week, Hebrews chapter 6, ending at verse 12. Today, we will start on verse 13 to 20. We will cover those verses. As you know me, I read the text and I go to my exposition. I don't often come back to the text. I just get out of the text and go on. That's how I do it. So you need to learn from me there that is the way I do, and stick with the text and keep looking at the text so that you will grow with me. All right, let's read together Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 to 20, the end of chapter 6. I'm reading from NIV. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Father, the words before us are powerful because they are your words, spoken to us through the pens of the author of this letter to the Hebrews, but it is from your spirit. And so we hear reading these words, expecting you to fill us with explanations and teach us how to apply these texts, these words to our lives. Be with me and guide me as I'm trying to explain these texts, and also be with each and every one of us. Open our hearts to receive what you want us to hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This text is quite difficult to find a title, because there are multiple titles that you can put on it. It is so deep and so broad. Title I put on it is Patiently Holding On to Faith. That follows verse 12. But you can certainly say that this text talked about the unbreakable promise of God to Abraham and to Jesus. And you may also give other titles. But for me, I want to see the text together as encouraging us to hold on to faith and to be patient when we going through this. The author points to Abraham and Jesus in this text as example for us to hold on to faith. For Abraham as a man like you and me. But for Jesus, it is something else because Jesus is the Son of God. Nevertheless, Jesus was given all his authority away by becoming man. And so he did not assert himself as divine when he was here on earth. But that call was very hard. Nevertheless, God did make many promises to him. And here at the end of chapter 6 and begin in chapter 7, we will see that God had fulfilled his promise to the Lord Jesus, making him the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. First, let's look at the promise to Abraham and look at Abraham's life. We read in the Bible and know that God initially called Abraham to follow him. That account began in Genesis chapter 11 we often find the call and the word, the promise, beginning in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. If you open your Bible, and I type it here on my notes, and I just read it there, Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3, from the NIV, it reads, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That's the beginning of the call, the promise to bless Abraham. But the stories continue until chapter 22, 23, and then it go to Isaac after that. But in chapter 22, it's where all the promise consummated in an oath. And the author of Hebrews that we read here in verse 13 to 15 summarized, captured the oath and presented to us that all of Abraham's life, it come to this. And so this is what we read in Genesis chapter 22, verse 16 to 18. Now, this is after Abraham had come to full faith in God and bound his son Isaac and offered Isaac at the altar to God. But God said, no, don't kill your son Isaac. Enough. I have seen your faith. So this text that we are reading is the following the offer of Isaac at the altar. And so this is God said, "I swear by myself, declared the Lord, that because you have done this, that offering Isaac, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, the singular, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." We know that God has kept his promise to Abraham through the centuries till today. Many strong nations on earth had vanished, but the children of Abraham remain to this day and growing throughout the Middle East, Europe, North America, South America. And some even tell me that the Jew had spread even to China. Why the nation of Israel continued to spread? Because God sworn to himself that he would do this. Why did God sworn by himself? because there is no one greater than him. God wanted to give assurance to Abraham that he would never break his promise. Since God guaranteed it with his own being, his promise cannot be broken. Let me explain a little bit about the promise that God made to Abraham in a summary. And I think the summary can be captured through the covenant that God made with Abraham. In the Hebrew language, a covenant is called, is not made, it is cut. And the reason they call it a cut covenant is that in order for the covenant to be made, to be complete, an animal is cut in half and burned completely. And with word that said, if you don't keep the promise, you will be as dead as this animal. That is the covenant God made with Abraham. We found that in Genesis chapter 15. Abraham said, I don't know if you're going to keep your promise. I don't know if you're able to do what you said. And God said, well, bring a heifer, a red bull, cut it in half, ram, goat, dove, pigeon, kill them, bring them to me. So Abraham did that, bring to God. And part of the process is the big animal you split in half and put it like that. And so you made a way in the middle. The two small animals you don't cut in half, you just put one there, one there. And God came through in a fire and burned those animals to ash. That is how you cut a covenant. And God made that covenant with Abraham, putting himself on it and said, if I live, or as long as I live, with the English translation. But in the Hebrew, he said, if I live, I will do this, which means I would never die, and so I will do this. For human, we do that. If I live, I will do this. But if I die, you know, God will do that for you, right? But that is the promise that God had made with Abraham, put himself on it. And so the sworn of the oath that God took of himself, God said, there's no greater than myself. I swore by myself that as long as I live, I will do this. And because God lived forever, right? So the nation of Israel will be forever. And so whoever is brought into the nation of Israel will be forever. And that's why you and I are brought into the nation of Israel by the work of this promise that God made to Abraham, not only for the Israel to be blessed, but all the nations will be blessed through it. And all the nations will be brought into this covenant. All the nations will be brought into salvation through Abraham. So Abraham obtained the promise through faith and patience. There were times that Abraham doubted. You read the story and you know. If you haven't read the story, let me tell you about a couple times that Abraham doubted. First time was when Abraham and his family faced famine in the land of Canaan. And so they went down to Egypt. And he was afraid that he would die because he entered into Egypt. Pharaoh fell in love with his wife too, so he's more afraid if he would say that his wife was his wife. Pharaoh might kill him, so he said, lie. Okay, let's lie on this to see if we can save our skin. This is my sister. Oh, you remember that story. After they come back out of Egypt, God had not given him any son, any children yet, so he was not certain. God come, talked to him, and he said, God, I don't know if you're going to be able to do what you promised to do. Why don't you just let my slave, Eliezer of Damascus, inherit my state? Essentially, what Abraham said was, I don't know what to say. I'm doubting you. Since I don't have children and I'm old, my body is dead and my wife's body is dead too. You know, there's no ovary, there's no menstruation, and we are physically dead. So how could we have children? Well, God said, I will give you children. So God then gave the covenant. But later on, he doubted God too. His wife doubted God, and his wife said, you know, we wait. God said those things, but we never have children. And you know, I cannot have children, Abraham. So go sleep with my slave, Hagar. So Abraham did. If Abraham was not doubting God, he would not go. He said, no, Sarah, you will stay put. Okay, I'm going to stay put with God. Oh, they doubt. And Abraham sinned. That was a great sin. Later on, when they're old, just before they conceive conceive Isaac, Abraham was 99, and they go to live with the king Abimelech. And King Abimelech still sees Sarah beautiful. So Abraham was afraid of his life again. Well, if I die, I will not have any descendants. Might as well lie again the last time. Well, he lied again. So we see that Abraham doubted God here and there, and he even commits sin when he doubted God. Yet, every time Abraham heard the word of God, his faith was renewed. That was the last time that Abraham fully explained his situation to Abimelech. And that was the last time he sinned. And he and his wife conceived Isaac. And God said, now offer Isaac to me. So Abraham have no more doubt with God. There's no more doubt. So those wishy-washy thinking and doubting experience that he had, God was able to use them and build his faith and made his faith stronger, to the point where he said, I know what God can do because my body is dead, and God was able to bring life out of this body and we conceive the son. So if my son Isaac die, God would be able to bring him right back because that is God's promise. We see that in Hebrew chapter 11, that God, that Abraham come to that faith. He would not have come to that faith if God did not do what God promised to do, to bring Isaac out of their dead body. So that is the story of Abraham. And so God confirmed with an oath that because you have this faith, because you do not withhold your son, I will do what I promise to do henceforth. And Abraham had received the promise that God had given to him. Now, in Jesus' case, we found all the promises in this letter of Hebrew. We've seen that God had given Jesus the name above all name, the kingdom, the crown of glory and honor, and children, and the high priesthood of Melchizedek. God made all those promises to Jesus because God called him to be a sin offering and made him lower than the angel. God humbled him, demanding him to take the sins of the world. Perhaps in the past you might wonder why we worship Jesus and not God alone. This is why. God had made Jesus' name above all names. And when Jesus came to earth, God allowed Jesus to be worshipped. We studied that in the first chapter of Hebrew. God brought Jesus to earth, and God said, angels, you worship him. That is the beginning of worship that Jesus received, because God gave Jesus the name above all names. And so, from that point on, humanities are invited to worship Jesus. But there's also in Isaiah, Isaiah prophesies that. The name Jesus means Yahweh save. The name Jesus, all people will be saved. Not only people will be saved, all creation that has been cursed in Adam's name will be saved. We see that in Romans chapter 8. All creation will be redeemed through Jesus. And so Paul would say that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And Jesus then received the title, Kings of Kings and Lord of Lords, the same title that God put on himself. Remember, we studied the book of Hebrews, the first chapter. God prophesied that Jesus, the Son, will be called God because he himself will be worshipped. Why God put Jesus through all that? That's the question that you want to know and I want to know. He is already God. Why God put Jesus through all that, asked him to divest all his deity, become a man, become his offering for sin? Why? We find that the answer in verse 19 and 20, this text that we just read. Let's read that again. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. What the Holy Spirit said through these two verses is this: Jesus did not do that for himself. Jesus did that. He went through all those pain and suffering, even death through the cross, because he wanted to secure hope for you, to secure salvation for you and for me, to make you sons and daughters of God, and to make sure that you have this hope. And even if you flip-flop, if you wishy-washy, if you have life going up and down like Abraham, you always have to confess your sin to Jesus, and everything that you have done in your life will be washed away clean, and you are brand new with God again. Every time, all the time. From the time of Jesus to the end of the earth, everyone who come in Jesus' name, as in Jesus' name, any time of any sins at all, except one sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, any sins at all, anything that you have done, any doubt that you have about Jesus, about God, about life, about whatever, even about the church, God will gladly wash it away and speak to your heart and say to your heart, you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Doesn't matter what sins, even murder, addictions, drugs, abuse, pornography, whatever sin, whatever. That is the purpose that God made Jesus went through for you and for me, so that you would have hope, and I would have hope. And this hope is not on earth. It's not under time that it would change. You have learned, and I have learned, that on earth we live under time. And the only things that we know that is forever is change. It always changes, always changes. Nothing static, nothing remains the same. Even the rocks change. The rock, the wind blow, and they will one day disappear. But your hope is not anchored here on earth. Your hope is anchored in heaven, in the eternal of things. So, how do we apply this? How do we live through the message that we have heard today? Well, if you ever have doubt about God, and we do have doubt about life, you know, for me, I heard God speak to me clearly. But what God said to me, it took a long time to fulfill. There are times in which I said, God, you called me to this. But I haven't done anything, and the things that you promised in my life have not manifested, have not happened. You know, what happened? Did I do something wrong? Did I mess up? Did I not have faith? You have doubt with God on an array of things. When we don't have money for our children, we cry. We said, God, you promised to take care of us, but we still go through this. And, you know, you're in the church, and you have people in the church hate you. Right? You know that people hate pastors too? And then you're in the church. People hate you. You're trying to help them. They hate you, right? And you ask God, why am I in this? You know, God said, go preach. I go preach. And no one come to salvation. And I said, God, what is this? So we are in this life together, just like Abraham. There are times in which we really ask God, what is this? And those are doubting questions, right? Paul said, all the situation, all the circumstances in our life are for our own good. Just like Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. You know, when you have someone that die in your home and you cry, you don't see any blessing there. I certainly haven't. When my mom died, when my dad died, when my sister died, you cried through it. And you said, God, I didn't see the blessing through this. Until months later, years later, then the Lord will speak to your heart, this is the reason. And then you thank God for it. And the blessing comes much later, not right there. And it is in situations like that that God wants us to experience it in life, to experience this walk with faith like Abraham did. Holding on to faith, even through the up and downs of life, through the circumstances in life in which you see you underwater, hold on to faith, because God will explain why you go through that difficult situation in life later on. And you will say, aha, Lord, you are so good. You bring it to us. Now, Jesus did not promise that when we come to him, all the worries will disappear. Now, Jesus said, don't worry, but he did not say the worry will disappear. And Matthew 6:33 said, don't worry, right? But the next verse, he said, all the worries for every day will come, and there is enough for that day, man and woman. Don't even bring more worries into. What Jesus is saying is this. When the worries come, and they certainly will come, you commit them to God. God, today I'm worried about my son. I'm worried about my daughter. I worry about my mom. I worry about my dad. I worry about my loan. I worry about this and that. A lot of worries that come to me today. I wake up from bed. I brush my teeth. I get into my car, go to work, go to school. And all these worries come to me. I want to tell you I'm worried about them. These come to me today. So I give them to you. Take this worry and give me peace. Give me the promise of the kingdom. Give me your control. Give me your peace. May your plan complete in me today. May I meet the people you want me to meet. Help those who you want me to help. Love those you want me to love. And testified about Jesus to those you want to hear about Jesus today. And that is your plan. Put God's plan right in front of you and put your worries to God and said, you take care of those. Now give me your plan so that I can fulfill them today. That is what Jesus said. Do not worry. Give all our worries to Jesus. That's how we should live our life. And the story of Abraham tells us that it will take years for us to have perfect faith. But Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. Jesus went through all that pain and suffering to be the author of your faith and the perfecter of your faith. He will perfect it for you. You will come to the end. Before you die, you will have that perfect faith like Abraham had. Let's stand up and pray. Father, you have brought Abraham to yourself through the ups and downs of his life, through his doubts and through his sins as well. Because we cannot make ourselves righteous, you alone made us righteous before you. And you said, by faith, Abraham was reckoned to be righteous. And you do the same thing with us, that by faith you will reckon us righteous. And we cannot have faith but ourselves. Our decision to follow you is not sufficient faith. You made Jesus the author of faith. And when Jesus plants faith in us, he will complete it. Through the ups and downs and times of doubts in our lives, you protect us and make sure that we have patience, that we are able to come back to you time and time again. Thank you for the message today. Thank you for your love and your grace for us. And we are eternally grateful for what Jesus has done for us. As we leave this place to go about our daily lives and live in the world, may your will for our life be complete each day as we live. We commit our life to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you next week.